Well, good morning, church. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is good to be back with you, back in the saddle again as we worship God together in this place, this wonderful church that's given to us. I want to thank Mona for the leadership that she has given to this church and the blessing of her message a couple of weeks ago. Thankful for Natalie and the message that she brought to us last week, and thankful for these women of faith who are able to lead us and guide us. And it's good to be back. We had a wonderful vacation. It was very nice to just have some Kristen and Jim time for a couple of days and to recharge our batteries, and then to have this last week to be with the kids, and then to send Ryan off to school. So wonderful. But yeah, we're heading into the fall, and I'm looking forward to seeing what God has in store. Things always tend to pick up around this time of year as we gear up to get ready for our coat drive, to get ready for the many ministries that we do in the fall around here. Thankful for the very successful school supply drive that we had. What a blessing it was to see the huge pile of school supplies up here, and then to distribute them to various schools around our church, that they were all very appreciative and thankful for the gifts. So what a blessing it is to be able to be with you and to worship God with you as we serve Jesus together here in this place. Is that shoe delicious? It's called a jelly shoe, but I don't think that's what it's meant to do. Let's go to scripture this morning. Jeremiah chapter 2, beginning with verse 4. Hear these words. They're challenging to the people that Jeremiah gave them to so many years ago, but they are especially challenging for us today. Hear the word of the Lord to you, you descendants of Jacob, all you clans of Israel. This is what the Lord says. What fault did your ancestors find in me, that they strayed so far from me? They followed worthless idols and became worthless themselves. They did not ask, where is the Lord who brought us up out of Egypt and led us through the barren wilderness, through a land of deserts and ravines, a land of drought and utter darkness, a land where no one travels and no one lives? I brought you into a fertile land to eat its fruit and rich produce. But you came and defiled my land and made my inheritance detestable. The priests did not ask, where is the Lord? Those who deal with the law did not know me. The leaders rebelled against me. The prophets prophesied by Baal, following worthless idols. Therefore, I bring charges against you again, declares the Lord, and I will bring charges against your children's children. Cross over to the coasts of Cyprus and look. Send to Kedar and observe closely. See if there has ever been anything like this. Has a nation ever changed its gods? And yet they were not gods at all. But my people exchanged their glorious God for worthless idols. Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. Jesus is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together, friends. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. We have heard your scripture read. Now may it be proclaimed according to your will and your will only. In Jesus' name, amen. You like the sign up there? In the 80s, there was an event called the Cola Wars. The Cola Wars. Anybody remember the Cola Wars? Who were the participants? Coke and Pepsi. I love visual aids. There they are, Coke and Pepsi. Now, I can't drink either of these because I'm diabetic, so after church, if somebody wants them, they can have them. Coke was the granddaddy. They were the original company. And yes, it is true, they originally put cocaine in it. But that was done away with, and they were, for 100 years, the leader of the soda industry. And they were making millions and millions and millions of dollars in profits. Pepsi was also an old company, founded about 1900, but still, it was the upstart. It was the newbie on the block. Anybody here who is been around for a very long time, but you're the youngest sibling, and you're still, no matter how old you get, the younger brother, the younger sister? Well, that was Pepsi. And about 1975, they decided to challenge the older brother, Coke, and they began to have these blind taste tests. Anybody remember those? Coke, Pepsi. I don't know which one it is, and I'm going to drink both. And Pepsi would say, of course, well, more people enjoy the taste of Pepsi as opposed to the taste of Coke. And Pepsi began to gain an increase in its market share. And Coke didn't quite like that. They hired a guy, a famous man named Bill Cosby, to sell their Coke products. And maybe you remember the commercials with Bill Cosby selling Coke to you. You'd say, it's so much better than Pepsi. Pepsi is so too sweet. It tastes terrible. But the original taste of Coke is the best tasting Coke, best tasting Pepsi, or best tasting soda that's ever been, and there never will be another like it, and they're just too sweet, those competitors. But what happened? About 1984, Pepsi hired the most famous man in the world at the time to sell their product, and it was the choice of a new generation. Who'd they hire? Michael Jackson. Then they set him on fire. But $5 million they paid him, the highest in at the time for any company to be paid to have a spokesperson for their product. And suddenly Pepsi skyrockets. They got the most famous man in the world selling their product. Coke sees this. And rather than continuing in the steadfastness of their product, believing with all their hearts that we have the best tasting product, there's no one who can beat us, what do? They lose their minds. They say, we're going to throw the whole thing out, and we're going to get a new product. Put it up there. New Coke. And suddenly, Bill Cosby, who for years had been saying, oh, this is the best tasting product, suddenly he's drinking new Coke and going, it's so good, it's so tasty, it's the best tasting Coke ever. What happened? Within 2 months, the people rioted. We want our old Coke back. We didn't realize we missed it until it was gone. And so suddenly, a huge controversy arises, and within 2 months, Coke has to come out and say, you know what? We know we screwed up, and we're gonna go back. We're going to put Coke back out. We're going to call it Coca-Cola Classic, and you can't beat the real thing. That was when the slogan started. Coke is it. You know, you can't beat the real thing, and we're bringing it back. And within about 5 years, the new Coke experiment was gone, and they bring it back from time to time, but for the most part, they realized that the genuine article, even though it may have been out of date, out of style, was better than their attempt to try to be hip and cool and compete with the cool kids on the block of Pepsi. Well, Jeremiah, in our Bible lesson today, he is confronting Israel. And Israel had the genuine article. They had the real thing. They knew God. The God who created the universe was the very same God who had led them through the wilderness, out of Egypt, and into this beautiful land that he had given to them. They knew their God. They didn't need to have a stone rock somewhere that they carved out and made into an image of God. They had the real thing. But they began to look around. Philistines have idols. They're doing okay. The Egyptians have idols. Oh, they're doing great. People up north, the Syrians, they have idols. They're doing okay. Even our brothers to the north, they're all doing well. They're having idols. Why don't we have idols? Why don't we make idols for ourselves? Why don't we worship as they worship? And so they left the genuine article, and they began to make their own idols. There's a problem with this, though, because God is there saying, "What happened? What did I do to you that you left me to worship rocks, to worship worthless stones that you carved into a image of a person, and you say that's your God? You abandoned me for something that's just not the real thing." And so God has a complaint to give to Israel, and he uses his prophet Jeremiah to bring that complaint to the people. You've abandoned your God. You've abandoned the real thing for the thing that seems cool and ideal at the time. What happened? Well, we know what happened in history. Eventually, to correct the people, God had to send the Babylonians in to clean out the corruption in Babylon, in Jerusalem, take the people away for 70 years so they could have their own wilderness experience, so that they could come back to Jerusalem after the exile and get back on track. They realized, boy, life in Babylon's really hard. Going to worship properly this time. Idolatry sermons are sometimes interesting, because all of us can sit in our pews, all of us, as I was studying, I've never carved out a rock into a person and worshipped it. Is idolatry a problem in my life? Is idolatry a problem for the lives of the people in my congregation? Why am I studying idolatry? Is that a problem anymore in our society? Well, even by the time of Jesus, people had said, you know what? Idols are kind of dumb. Why are we worshiping stone things? That's silly, and they'd done away with that practice. But Paul confronts the society of his time in Romans. Hear these words, Romans chapter 1, verse 23. "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God, nor gave thanks to him. But their thinking became futile and their hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over to the sinful desires of their hearts, to impurity and the degradation of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and served and worshipped created things rather than the Creator, who is to be worshipped and praised forever." idolatry didn't go away simply because we stopped carving images into rocks and saying, "Behold your God." We simply exchanged who the idol is. The most dangerous idol. And there are many idols in the world. Career, money, status, power. All of those can become idols. But the most dangerous idol, I think Paul is confronting us, the most dangerous idol is the one that looks back at you when you look into a mirror. The most dangerous idol is ourself. The idea that we have it all together, that we are we don't need God. Why do we need God for? I have everything I need. And I look so good, and I'm so smart, and I got it all together. Exchanging the real thing for a lie. That I can be my own God. There's truth. Truth is something that is out there. Something that is real. But I'm going to exchange that for my own version of truth. And in the process, not only am I going to lose God, but Paul warns us, we're going to lose ourselves in the process. We've exchanged the truth for a lie. It's so soaked into our culture. We've become self-absorbed. We have issues of self. The self is the most important thing. And if anybody challenges me and makes me feel bad, then I don't know what to do. I lose my mind. Change who I am. God loves me just the way I am. He really does. He loves you just the way you are. Just the way you are. But this culture of ours will so absorb into our minds that we think that we're never good enough. We'll never measure up to our own expectations, our own self-absorption. We've exchanged the real thing for an idol, for a phony, and it won't last. Our children are absorbed into this culture, and they're in danger. They're in danger because they are going to be told again and again and again and again, it's all about you. Everything in this life is all about you, your happiness, your best life. It's all about you. God challenges us. That's a phony ideology. That'll lead us to destruction. The truth is that it's all about God. It's all about Christ. It's all about God. And when we exchange that for something else, the path will lead us straight to destruction. Not only destruction that's to come, but even destruction in our own modern times. It's dangerous to become self-absorbed. That's how issues of racism, sexism, violence enter into our lives. We allow that. We open the door. I'm better than everybody else, and people who aren't me are inferior. They need to be taught. No, no. God loves us all just as we are. He's welcomed us into his kingdom and will show us our worth much more than anything that the world has to offer. My friends, you cannot beat the real thing. And the truth is, God loves you. And so do I. Amen.